Coming up on today's show,
if you spend time with God and bring all of your stress and issues and things going on and all, and just kind of offer that up, everything kind of works its way out.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net. Be sure that you have signed up there for free for the Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out each Monday morning. That's it, I promise, just once a week. While you are there on the website doing that, look too at the top of any page on the site, and you will see social media links, logos for this show, meaning Facebook, X, Instagram, and YouTube, so that you can engage with me and the show that way. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group consisting of listeners of this show and some past guests. That is free to join, and you can also find a link for that as well on CatholicSportsRadio.net. I really, really do truly love hearing from listeners, and so social media as well as the website all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. When it comes to the old expression, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat, I want to focus on the second part of that, sadly. The reality is there are times when we are let down in sports. It could even extend to the disappointment of a player being traded away, or even our favorite athlete announcing their retirement. Unfortunately, you do not have to look very long to find disappointment in sports. What about a team blowing a lead and then losing a game? Or worse yet, an athlete who really loses their cool, commits an extreme display of unsportsmanlike conduct, and then gets suspended. Over the years, we are witness to lots of situations that really leave us feeling incomplete. We look to sports as an outlet to somehow make us feel whole, but feel betrayed when it doesn't provide that. The one true source, however, is in our faith life. In the Old Testament, we look at Isaiah and chapter 40, where it says in verse 8, quote, "The grass withers, the flower wilts, but the word of our God stands forever." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest has been the Catholic chaplain for the NFL's San Francisco 49ers for the last 8 years, which have included two trips to the Super Bowl. He was a competitive golfer to the point of having considered going pro at one point, and he did a 53-mile walk from East San Jose to East San Francisco as part of a fundraiser. He is the founder and president of several nonprofits, was ordained to the priesthood at age 25 back in 2011, and just celebrated 1 year of serving as the principal at St. Joseph Notre Dame High School in Alameda, California, near Oakland. He not only earned a BA in philosophy and religious studies from Santa Clara University, but earned 3 degrees at St. Patrick's Seminary and University, plus he went back to SCU for his master's degree and then got his doctorate from the University of Southern California. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Father Steve Kim.
Good morning. How are you, Bruce?
Very good, Father. Thank you so much for making time to do this.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
This will be an answer unlike any we've heard on this show before. So, Father Kim, tell the audience where you were born and raised and what your family size was.
Yeah, so I was actually born in Korea, South Korea, Seoul, the capital. And we're actually a small family, and I'm an only child.
And your family came to the United States when?
When I was 6 years old, we made the move here to the Bay Area. in California.
What was the impetus for that move?
At the time, my grandma was already living here, and then you know, we thought it might be a good move, check it out. Also, just more opportunities, you know, here in the U.S.
Okay. Yeah. How prevalent was, or maybe is, Catholicism in South Korea? And did you, in fact, grow up in a Catholic household both in South Korea and in California?
Yeah, so I don't know the exact statistics, but in Korea, there's about 10% Catholics, and you know, there's not too many. But yeah, I was fortunate enough to, you know, grow up in a Catholic family, baptized as a baby. And I remember, you know, memories of just, you know, going to church as a kid in Korea. Yeah.
Let's flip the script and talk about sports for now. How and when did you get into sports? Was it only golf that you played? And tell us more about the having considered going pro at one point.
Yeah, so it's kind of a, you know, interesting story. You know, a lot of parents, you know, they want their children to be successful and do well in whatever they do. And when I was growing up, you know, I wanted to play a lot of team sports, you know, like many kids want to do. Like, I always play basketball, soccer. But, you know, my parents, especially my mom, you know, she's a really, you know, smart, you know, businesswoman. So she said, well, Stephen, you know, your mom's not an athlete, your dad's not an athlete, our whole family, we don't have a history of great athletes. You know, I mean, not that you can't be a great athlete, but so she said, well, the only sport you might have a chance for, like, a scholarship is might be golf. So I said, well, I don't want to play golf. I want to play basketball. I said, no. We're going to invest time and money. It needs to be in golf. So,
wow.
Yeah. So, you know, so, like I said, at the time, I was not really a fan of playing golf. But, you know, as an adult, I'm so grateful because, you know, golf is like a lifelong sport, you know, and you really get to meet people. And, you know, it really taught me a lot of life lessons as well.
So was that, in fact, the only sport that you ever played?
I played a little bit of basketball, but high school, I think I was cut. So golf was my thing.
At one point, you considered going pro. What was the deciding factor in not pursuing that?
So, you know, like I was saying, you know, when I was little, I was not a fan of it, but then I started playing, and then I was actually pretty decent. I went to high school in Palo Alto High School, and I played all 4 years. And there's thoughts about maybe perhaps, hey, maybe I could do this for, you know, for a career. And it's pretty exciting, right, to play golf and yeah, do something you're passionate about and to, you know, make that your living. And in Palo Alto, you know, at that time, you know, I'm sure everybody knows Tiger Woods, right? Tiger Woods was like the big thing back then. And it's like, wow, it's like everybody wants to be like Tiger Woods. And he kind of turned golf into more than just like an old people sport. Like young people wanted to get into it. And there was like a buzz. But in terms of why I didn't pursue it is, I mean, on a practical side, I was good, but I don't think, you know, I wasn't good at like Tiger Woods, right? And then the other thing is, you know, again, my parents, you know, growing up in an Asian household, you know, it's not to be stereotypical, but, you know, I remember my parents or my grandparents were like, hey, you know, Steve, you know, you could be whatever you want, you know, you put your mind to it, you could be whatever you want. But in the end, we want you to be a doctor, a lawyer, or an engineer. You know? That's like a confusing message. I'm like, okay, so I can do whatever I want, but then I'm limited to three choices. And professional golf was not one of those things. And, you know, this is kind of like getting into my little vocation story here. But, you know, I guess out of those three, I mean, they're all respectable, you know, careers. But I guess, you know, doctor would be kind of cool. You help people and, you know, heal people, right? But, you know, the professional golfer, I thought, wow, that's kind of pretty cool as well, you know. But I remember, you know, when I was a junior in high school, you know, I was kind of really thinking, praying. There wasn't like this one like light bulb kind of epiphany moment, but it was kind of like this idea that, hey, like maybe I want to do something that helps people, that serves people, going beyond just my own selfish desires, right? And for golf, you could, you know, donate a lot of money to charity, help people grow the game of golf or be a role model. But when I considered the priesthood, you know, that's, you know, really kind of being selfless, right? Mm-hmm. And to really lay down your life for God and to serve others and to be somebody that not just heals people physically, but, you know, a doctor of souls, you know, to help people, you know, in the end, bringing people closer to God and ultimately to heaven, right? And I said, wow, like that's, you know, kind of like a challenge for me. And I said, well, that's kind of, you know, not only is it a challenge, but it's interesting, right? And, you know, to kind of put things into perspective, that was kind of like when, I'm sure you remember, like the Boston scandal, the pre-scandals and all that was happening. And I kind of related that to kind of like 9/11, right? Where it's like, wow, like this crazy thing's happening and, you know, people are pointing fingers and, you know, you want to see like, okay, well, what happened? You know, who's responsible for these things? And those people that are responsible should be held accountable. But, you know, I think 9/11 resulted in a lot of people wanting to become first responders.
Mm.
A lot of people want to become firefighters. A lot of people wanting to join the military, right? Because they see that, hey, our country is like, you know, under attack and we want to fight for our beliefs, you know, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, pledge of allegiance, all those things. Mm-hmm. These things, you know, so, you know, you want to defend what you love, right? And I, in a very similar way, you know, in terms of my faith and kind of like the image and what was happening in our country at the time, I said, wow, like, yes, it's very similar. Hey, these are horrible things that we're seeing in the news. You know, what's going on? Who are the people that are responsible? And if people are guilty, let's hold these people accountable. But at the same time, you know, it should result in more people, you know, stepping up, right?
Wow.
If you look at the history of the church in the darkest times, you know, we have people that step up, whether it was during Jesus' time or, you know, I think the 20th century had the most number of martyrs who gave up their faith for Jesus in the history of the Catholic Church. And U.S. Catholicism, as I mean, this is kind of an important time. And one thing that kind of sold me was, you know, at the time, so I was 17. I graduated high school when I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
And the vocation director, he's kind of like a recruiter, mm-hmm. right? And he told me, you know, Steve, you're young. You know, I'm not asking you to, you know, give your life away today, because it actually takes a long time to become a priest, right? There's a lot of formation, a lot of prayer, a lot of discernment. But, you know, just give God the first chance and check it out. Come and see, right? And of course, there's moments, you know, that are good, moments that are, you know, not so good, ups and downs, just like in any relationship, right? If, you know, if somebody says, hey, you know, every day with my, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, every day with my fiance, every day with my partner is 100% all good. I'm like, really? So, yeah. So, you know, there were moments where, you know, in my discernment, where it's just like, wow, like this is so cool. The thought that I could be a priest and proclaim the gospel and hear somebody's, you know, confession and bring them closer to God. But there are other moments. It's like, I wake up. I'm like, what am I doing? You know, because when I joined the priesthood, you know, not many of my friends were supportive of that decision because there's so many other things. Because, I mean, growing up in the Silicon Valley, you know, remember the .com stuff, .com bubble?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, basically, you think of any idea, make it .com, and you become a millionaire at the time.
But I see where you're going with this, which is also that you probably wrestled with the fact that, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but the fact that, well, I'm never going to be a husband and I'm never going to be a dad. And by the way, I liked your analogy with, but I am going to be a doctor in the sense of you're healing souls. It's like when my spiritual director once said, church isn't a museum for saints, it's a hospital for sinners. And so I love that analogy that you made. But, you know, at that young age, that discernment process has to be very challenging because of the age that you're at. And you are starting to think about these worldly things like, I'm not going to be a husband, I'm not going to be a dad.
Yeah. But no, for sure. And one of the, you know, requests that I made was, you know, there are other like priests or religions they call lifers, where you just like join straight out of like high school, or sometimes they, and back in the old days they had high school seminary. So I said I wanted to live somewhat of a normal life a little bit, you know. So when I went to Santa Clara, I asked, hey, can I like live in the dorms to kind of, you know, live a somewhat college life and get to meet people, right? But yes, to your point, is like, yeah, a lot of, you know, temptations, a lot of, you know, things. But I was really grateful for that experience. I could have a normal life. Even if I'm preaching, I could say, hey, I was like living in the dorms as well, you know?
Wow, wow.
But in the end, you know, there's a difference between happiness and joy, right? A lot of things bring us happiness, right? Where, you know, money gives you happiness, maybe being in a relationship gives you happiness, but being in a relationship with God, that's true joy, sustained joy, right? Whether you're doing well or not well, or in sports, whether you're winning or losing, right? You know, I was watching, you know, golf, the Masters, that's like the Super Bowl for golfers, you know, and they were interviewing the guy who won, Scottie Scheffler, you know, and he says, like, wow, like, you know, it's like, you're like world number one. What a great victory. And I think he said something, and I might be misquoting, but he said something along the lines of, you know, just, hey, I've already won the victory. That victory is with Jesus.
Wow. Wow.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Great insight. I want to split this next discussion into two parts. So before we get into the actual hands-on activity, tell us first the story behind the mechanics of how you got the role as the Catholic chaplain for the San Francisco 49ers. And by the way, how much did the sports fan in you overtake the priest in you in terms of being excited about stepping into that role?
Yeah, I mean, Bruce, you know, you're in Catholic sports radio, so, you know, I'm sure you have your role models and, you know, sports idols, all these things, you know, great players. And yeah, and growing up, like, I always watched the 49ers. It's like, you know, like a diehard 49ers fan, you know, like, you know, faithful then, faithful now, just ups and downs. And people ask me, well, like, I don't know, like, did you like interview for the job? No, not really. I mean, it's nothing like special. They just needed a priest to help celebrate Mass, right? So there were some other priest friends that were doing it. Like in the old days, you know, with Joe Montana and Carmen Policy and all those people, you know, they had like a more active, you know, Monsignor Armstrong from San Francisco. He was like more active back then. And like, you know, I remember stories of him holding, you know, 5 Super Bowl rings. But, you know, it's a lot of NFL teams, they have like a chaplain, the way they do it a little bit different. But they just, you know, they had other priests that were celebrating Mass, but they were not able to do it. And then they just, you know, called me and said, hey, you know, can you help us celebrate Mass? And I said, sure, why not? But yeah, just kind of like going and being around the area. And I'm like, wait a minute. You're so-and-so? This is Jerry Rice? Steve Young? It's like, whoa. You know, like when you're like starstruck, you know? You're starstruck, but then you kind of try to play cool, right?
So that phone call, you went and did the Mass, and then it just stuck, and you were the guy going forward.
Yeah, I think that was about 8 years ago, 8 years ago-ish. And then it's like, okay, well, can you come back next week? Sure,
okay.
Why not? You know. And the interesting part is the staff, and it's a beautiful thing to, you know, build relationships. You know, get to know some of the staff around the players.
I love it.
Who are really helping out, and they're really kind and just servants.
That's wonderful. Folks, because Father Kim told us about Catholicism in South Korea, I'm reminded of episode 259 of this show just over 3 months ago, January 15th to be exact, with Father Don Calloway, who, another nice coincidence, is also out in California. And wow, if you never heard that interview, do go back and listen to it. The point I'm getting at is he spent time in Asia, but it's talked about for all the wrong reasons. He got kicked out of Japan, deported, because he had gotten involved with a criminal organization called the Yakuza, which is like the mafia. It's an amazing conversion story. So again, if you did not listen to my conversation with Father Don Calloway back in January, do look for that, episode 259. As another bit of housekeeping, I also want to report to all of you about the Zoom call that I had recently. I had mentioned this 2 weeks ago, and I had said that I was excited in the lead up to it about the potential to put Catholic Sports Radio in a position to significantly raise its profile and thus hopefully really grow the audience. However, if you heard that, I had expressed concern because I was saying then on the episode 2 weeks ago that I feared what the price tag might be that was going to come from what I was going to hear on this Zoom call. And wow, it was actually even more than I thought, to the tune of $1,000. It's unfortunate because this opportunity would have put Catholic Sports Radio in front of somewhere between 150,000 to 200,000 Catholics. But that is just far, far more money than I could even consider as it relates to having to try to find a way out of my own pocket to cover any and all expenses associated with Catholic Sports Radio, since I'm just a one-person operation, and not only is this not my full or part-time job, but I don't get any income from doing this. If what I'm doing is helping you in your faith life, and you believe in my ministry, and you like Catholic Sports Radio, and want to help me potentially grow the audience, I would ask you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift via the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. As some listeners and guests who have done it would attest, that is fast, easy, secure, and there's no list of amounts to have to choose from. You can simply type in whatever amount you're comfortable giving. And by the way, this will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal. Alternatively, as some folks have opted to do, you can get in touch with me about sending a check through the mail. Contact me through the website or through social media, or even just email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will email you back with the details on sending something that way. Regardless of which method you use, meaning the blue Donate to CSR button on catholicsportsradio.net or sending me a check, with your permission, I will happily say your name on the air as a public thanks, or as some have instructed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for you considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Father Kim, before all of that, you were talking about how and when you got the role as the Catholic chaplain for the 49ers, and you're now 8 years of serving in that role. Has there been maybe an overriding theme or two that you try to impart upon those that you minister to in your work with the team, since this could also be a great lesson for all of us to hear as part of Catholic Sports Radio in the aim of bringing our faith life into our sports life?
I would say, you know, I would use the analogy of kind of like the body of Christ, right? So we have different parts of the body, but they all function and work together as a, you know, as a team, as the body of Christ. And, you know, in a sports team, there's so many moving parts, right? It's not just the players, but it's the money aspect, there's the, you know, the organization aspect, the media aspect, and so much that has to happen just to put a game together, right? A lot of people behind the scenes. And my kind of thing has been, hey, whether you're the MVP, whether you're the general manager, whether you're the grounds crew, whether you're logistics, you know, equipment manager, whatever you're doing, it's a great opportunity to evangelize. In whatever capacity you're serving, it's an opportunity to glorify God, right? And on the TV, right, when you see the game, yeah, they focus on the players. There's also the sideline, right? And whatever you do, they kind of, you know, they kind of pick it up, right? And it's an opportunity, I think, you know, a platform, if you will, right, for us to really glorify God and to praise God and to use it as a tool to evangelize. Even you said a beautiful quote from the scripture about whether it's difficult moments or trying moments, right? Not just celebrating winning, but losing, right? Like losing gracefully, like at the high school that I'm at, St. Joseph Notre Dame High School in Alameda. It's the school everybody knows that Jason Kidd went to. I'm sure you know Jason Kidd.
Yeah.
You know, he's the current head coach of the Dallas Mavericks, right? So, you know, I mean, that's huge. And for a small school like us, a school size of 400 students, and for us to win championships, it was huge back then. But, you know, where's Jason Kidd 2.0 right now, right? So, you know, it's nice when the school is doing well and everybody's winning championships, but when things are not going well, right, it's also to, you know, model that and to lose gracefully, right?
Wow.
And I've kind of learned that, you know, with the 49ers is, hey, when things are going well, you know, it seems to me like you can kind of feel or sense the vibe, right? When we're winning cures a lot of things. Yeah, people can deal with ego. People are willing to pay more. People are willing to deal with drama when we're winning. When you're losing, you know, not so easy, right? But I remember, I think around Super Bowl time, or they interviewed the quarterback, Brock Purdy, and they said, hey, how do you feel about all this? Is the spotlight too much for you? Is there too much pressure on you? You know, and he says, no, not really. Because in the end, all I got to do is just, you know, glorify God and everything taken care of, right?
There's another lesson you can teach us, since we really should be bringing Christ into all facets of our daily life. In the first year that you've just marked as principal of St. Joseph Notre Dame High School, because you are a priest, that's how students and teachers and staff are going to see you. But at the end of the day, the school is a business. And so that type of operating, that view of it, suddenly brings up more of a business world perspective. How do you make sure that in running that business, being the principal of that school, that you are bringing Christ into your daily tasks?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, and that even in your, you know, advertisement, right? It's Catholic Sports Radio is a mission, but also you need funds to operate and to grow. It's a both and, right? Mm-hmm, and people kind of make it a either or. No, it's a both and. You know, and first and foremost, you know, I'm a priest because of my mission, right, to serve God and to serve people. But in a specific way, in Catholic education, and I think, you know, I don't have to go around and tell people, hey, it's my mission. Like, I wear a collar, so you know, I think it's pretty obvious, right? It's through my actions. And a lot of business decisions, you know, I pray over it, over all these things, right? And just quick little story where when I started here in July last year, there's a lot of, you know, teacher vacancies, you know, turnover, retention. That's a big issue in all the schools, right? And when I started, I think I had to fill like 9 teaching positions. So, you know, turn to prayer, you know, and I called up all of my friends, but also when I'm desperate, I call on the nuns to help me.
You know? Interesting.
So, like, hey, Mother Superior, like, I'm desperate, like, you got to help me out, you know? But not just turning to prayer, but just making, you know, sure that, you know, when the school makes decisions, business decisions, that it's aligned with the mission. As long as it's aligned with the mission, even though it might be difficult decisions, whether it's, you know, making a financial decision, maybe it's, you know, letting go of people, whatever you got to do, just make sure it's the right decision that's aligned with God. And then in the end, you know, I leave the rest up to God, right?
Oh, I love it. I love it. That's great. I alluded to this back in the intro, but you combined fitness with faith by, taking part in a 53-mile walk to raise funds for completing a church building that was unfinished. Tell us about that whole experience, my gosh.
Yeah, so that was my first assignment. It's called St. John Vianney in Eastside, San Jose. And, you know, it's a great community, but they've been, you know, working hard to build a community center. And there was the ups and downs, but they needed some funds. And it was, you know, at the time, the pastor, Father Tony, his idea. And you've heard of, like, many, like, pilgrimage walks, right? The Camino, right, in Spain. Mm-hmm. And where we're at, they call it the El Camino Real. That's kind of like a busy street, but it kind of extends, you know. And it El Camino Real was kind of like the way of the missionaries going back to Junipero Serra, right? And if you actually walk the El Camino Real, they have like church bells like every couple miles. And we thought it'd be an idea to make it a pilgrimage, like a pilgrimage walk out of it, and to, you know, raise some funds and to pray for people along the way. So we would, you know, kind of like similar to like a Catholic mass, you know, the opening prayer, they call it the collect, right? When the priest says, let us pray, the priest is like actually collecting the prayers and the intentions of the people. In the same way, we collected the prayers and intentions of people as we walked. That 53-mile walk.
Over what period of time was that, 53 miles? How long did it take?
You know, we can walk about like 20 miles-ish in a day. It's kind of tough on the knees because it's all concrete, right? Mm. But no, it's not that bad, you know. Mm-hmm. So it took us about 2.5-3 days.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Perhaps there's a takeaway for all of us as it relates to making time in our day for our Heavenly Father. I'm referring, Father Kim, to the fact that you are just so busy. In fact, we started recording this at 8 a.m. Pacific time, which even then I thought, how does he have time to talk to me at 8 o'clock on a Friday morning? Isn't everybody showing up for work at the high school then? And then there's things like being the 49ers Catholic chaplain and like the nonprofits that you're the founder and president of. So for some spiritual guidance for us all, with all that you're juggling, how do you make sure that you're spending time with the Lord each day?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of advice that I got from other people who are busier than me, I think. You know, when I talk to some people who are very successful, entrepreneurs, CEOs, I mean, they run big companies, right? And I ask them for advice. Like, I'm kind of strapped for time. I only got 24 hours. What do I do? Oh, and this is a good friend of mine. He told me, you know, well, you're the priest, but let me give you some advice. He says, you know, the busiest people, right, have the highest need to pray even more, right? So, you know, kind of give God the first hour. Mm. Where if you start the day off, you know, or maybe you're not a morning person, maybe at the night or whatever, if you spend time with God and bring all of your stress and issues and things going on, you know, and just kind of offer that up, everything kind of works its way out, right? To the point of, you know, if I don't spend time in prayer, right, my day gets even more crazier, right? Mm. Giving that first, you know, what hour, or if you can't pray for an hour, even 10 minutes, 15 minutes, centering yourself and just, you know, again, going back to the mission. If we know the why we're doing what we're doing, whether it's sports radio, maybe it's for a job, feeding the family, then it just makes it that more interesting. And if you know the why, it makes it easier to do it. You know, it becomes not a job, but it becomes fun as well.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Well, speaking of fun, final question before we wrap up. I would love to hear, if you don't mind, a fun memory that sticks out from your 8 years with the San Francisco 49ers.
I mean, there's quite a few, but kind of like being a fan, right? Where some of the people that I know in the organization, you know, they usually see me as the priest celebrating mass. But then, like, I remember 49ers played the Dallas Cowboys, right? And I was there like purely as a fan at the game, you know, mm-hmm. And just, you know, talking with some of the people that I know, and they're like, "Oh, you just watched the game? Yeah, I told you I'm a fan." Like, you know, and it's fun to just be a part of it. Yeah.
And we all know that Cowboys 49ers rivalry is quite fierce. So that would be a fun game to be at.
Oh, for sure. For sure. For sure. Yeah.
Well, Father Kim, thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. And audience, you know that when I have a member of the clergy on, I always like to defer and let them do the closing prayer. And Father Kim has been kind enough to agree to do our closing prayer for us this week. So, Father Kim, if you would.
All right, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Loving God, we continue to give you thanks during this period of Easter season, a period of joy, of celebrating the resurrection of our Lord. We pray in a special way for Bruce and his ministry and Catholic Radio, that he may continue to spread the love of God and evangelize and reach people through the social media and also through sports. We also pray for all of our viewers and listeners that we may celebrate the joy of this Easter season and to spread God's love to whomever and whenever we encounter the love of Jesus with others. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose. Thank you.